These are the Qayshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Qayshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
It's the Qayshi Tapes, episode 124. John Hewlett, Favaz.
Hi, John.
And this is an interview that Favaz did with the late, he just passed away,
yeah,
Larry Flint.
Yes, John, in our never-ending quest to bring death to the people, we're bringing you another interview of somebody that just croaked, and that's Larry Flint. And Larry, I don't remember the year. I think it was 2000, maybe two or three he came in. And I remember, I've got a picture of him somewhere where I kind of bent down and took a picture next to him. He came in with his gold-plated wheelchair. And I don't remember what he was pushing. Was he pushing the First Amendment? You know, he's very famous for that.
Yeah. He's pushing the wheelchair. We know that.
Well, he had somebody push the wheelchair for him. Yeah. He had somebody come in. So anyway, I found this interview. It is on cassette tape and it sounds pretty good. And we're going to do it for you now.
Okay. Now, when he was younger, he didn't speak kind of like that, the way he did towards the,
I think he started to speak that way after the assassination attempt on his life.
Yes.
I think that's what it was.
Oh, okay.
You know, so.
All right. An icon of pop culture here in the United States for a long time now, longtime publisher of Hustler magazine, Larry Flint, in the studio. Hi, Larry. Good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Welcome to St. Louis. When was the last time you were in St. Louis? Have any idea?
About 40 years ago when 40? I was in the Army.
Really? Yeah.
I'll be damned.
He was in the Army.
Ago,
we
the
wow,
Army.
Okay.
You're serious? 40 years ago?
Yeah, I was stationed out of Fort Leonard Wood.
Were you? Wow.
Well, that's not St. Louis, really.
Well,
but
it's close. Yeah, but, yeah. You know.
That's funny. Fort Leonard Wood. So I guess you had to come up, take a train and take it to Union Station maybe or something?
Took
the train. All right, so Larry is in town to promote his brand new club over on the east side at the on Highway 64 Washington Park exit, the Larry Flint Hustler Club.
That's what right. He was promoting, John.
Oh, of course.
He has a new club. He had a new club over there.
Yeah.
And I think I went to it.
Is it still there?
If it is, it's not called that anymore.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, but I remember going.
And when did those start? And it's about time we got one.
Hustler's been around for almost 30 years now. And people were always telling me that I didn't realize the strength of the brand name, and I wasn't using it to its fullest potential. So we started opening retail stores, so-called erotic boutiques.
Right.
We started producing videos, and we got in the nightclub business. We first opened in New Orleans about 3 years ago on Bourbon Street.
Perfect place, no doubt.
Place been a huge success.
Yeah.
San Francisco, a huge success. We hope St. Louis is going to do great.
I wonder how it did.
Boy, I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. I'm brain straining on Playboy's owner.
Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner. You know, at least Hugh Hefner portrayed bit of sexiness.
He's that Playboy type.
He's a Playboy type. Larry Flint never had that image. He just
seemed like a dirty dude.
Yeah, just a dirty guy.
And that movie, have you ever seen the movie with Woody Harrelson and Courtney Love about him? It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Club opening in the 1st of October in Paris, France.
Really?
And one outside Tokyo, Japan.
Wow, so you're moving.
Wonder how much he was worth when he passed away.
Well, let me see, John.
Why don't you find out?
Okay.
If we could describe what it's like, it's a boutique where you can buy novelty items and stuff like that, correct?
That's in the
part,
store.
That's in the store part.
Store part. You can buy... Yeah, you can buy lingerie, leather goods, sex toys,
any whips?
Vibrators.
Whips,
whips, vibrators.
Sorry, I brought it up. Larry Flint, American entrepreneur and publisher who
died broke.
A net worth of $500 million.
Oh, yeah.
At the time of his death.
Holy cow.
Wow, $500 mil.
What about Offspring? Where's that money going to go?
Yeah, I would say, well, he had a son that I think started publishing Hustler. I'm not sure.
All right.
All the things for,
on and on.
You know, kinky people.
And then you have the nightclub right with it where girls
date. He said kinky people.
yes.
And this week is Julie... Come on, Jens, carry on.
Brain strain.
Here we go. Brain strain 100 years ago. Okay.
I'm counting on you for this. Do you remember, Larry, who's appearing this weekend?
Julie Ashton.
No, it's not Julie Ashton. I'll think of it. Jill Kelly. Thank you, Jill Kelly. And
how about Judy Mufudi with the concrete booty? No?
Ooh, she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
The girl's name, last name may have been Ashton. I don't remember. Anyway, so you're starting off with two national film stars this weekend. So it's going to be a nice big grand opening.
I was there last night. It was very busy last night, even though we're just sort of like getting ready for the grand opening. So
you like how...
And people don't know that he has some people don't know that he has a solid gold-plated wheelchair.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, I mentioned that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he came in the studio with that.
Yeah.
You know, I took a picture with him.
Oh, you did mention that earlier in the podcast?
I believe I did. Oh. I said he came into the studio. Pay attention, John.
Pay attention.
Wake up and go to sleep.
Pay attention.
How it is and how it looks and all that stuff. Do you have to give, like, your final approval or anything like that?
I think it looks very well. You know, I'm not involved in the club from a management point of view. I have a guy who has...
I don't stoop low enough to do stupid stuff like that. I have my flunkies who handle that kind of stuff.
I just 35 years. Hustler publisher.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
I invented this crap. The rest of the work is for you all to do.
who does all of this.
But it still has your name on it, so you want it to be good. And I guess you trust the guy, no doubt.
Yeah.
So we're talking to Larry Flynt of Hustler right now on KSHE. And I was reading Motley Crue's biography. They talked about you quite a bit. Were they the funnest band in the day that you partied with? Could anybody top them? Because it's amazing that they're alive.
They probably were the funniest. I just have
But I don't laugh much, so, you know, as far as funny goes, I don't know.
I think he used to laugh.
He seems so serious.
I was at my home in Beverly Hills all the time. And of course, Motley Crue always came when they went down, and that was when, remember the group Devo? They were very hot.
Right,
they used to be there. Frank Zappa used to hang out there. We had
the Zappa.
Oh, be darned.
Frank Zappa used to hang out there.
Yeah.
Virtually a ton of musicians, you know, that
what a great life
came to our parties, and it was got pretty wild at times.
But Motley Crue was probably the funniest,
because
you got a big smile, the craziest. You got a big smile on your face right now.
The craziest.
Any stories? Is he
hopefully? I don't know.
Like I said, I'm surprised he's still alive.
Everybody looks at Tommy Lee as being probably the wildest of the bunch, and it wasn't him. It was Nikki Sixx, you know, and the others, you know.
Yeah, Tommy's, I mean, if you really talk to Tommy, he's a quiet, very nice guy. But
yeah.
Nikki's a wild man. Yeah. No doubt about it. You ever, I guess your movie came out years ago. Do you ever talk to Woody Harrelson and Courtney Love anymore, who starred in Larry Flynt versus the People?
Everybody really formed a bond on that movie, and I'm in touch with everyone on a frequent basis. And the movie has actually become one of Columbia Pictures' best-selling videos.
I don't doubt that. Tony, is it cold? Is coffee's cold? Is that what it is? Thank you, John. You pour Larry Flynt cold coffee. Wow. No, just kidding. I wanted to ask you also about the other publications that are out. Of course,
if only we all knew what those guys knew, that sex sells and there's huge money in it.
Right.
Most people just didn't get involved.
$500 million.
I know. They were fearless to get involved in it. And, you know, they didn't care what anybody thought.
Right. Not only that, I mean, and he did go up against, several of the religious corporations or, you know, if you will, and the First Amendment, the rights to do what he did.
Right.
You know, he wasn't afraid.
No.
Three are Penthouse, Hustler, and Playboy. Are you friendly at all with Hefner or Guccione like that? Do you have...
I know both of them, but, you know, on any occasion I've had to be with them. There's always been an inordinate amount of tension, and I just assume that that's from everybody's competitive spirit.
Ego. You know?
But
because Playboy was the king, for a long time.
Absolutely.
And then Larry came along with Hustler and made it dirtier than Playboy.
Right.
And so, yeah.
If you just hear the names Playboy and Hustler, you know, even when you were a young man, John, you know which one was dirtier.
Right. You know? Of course. Yeah. Yeah. You knew which one you were sinning with more.
Yeah, kind
of. Yeah. The Playboy was more of a venial sin, whereas the Hustler was more of a mortal sin.
Hustler is now more successful than either one of the other two magazines, mainly because of the way we've diversified.
Sure. You know? What was the first year for Hustler?
Pardon?
What was the first year?
1974.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So 28 years.
74, so 57, 67.
I was 9.
I was 17 years old. Yeah.
You were right in the prime. Yeah, you were in the wheelhouse,
I was.
Now I publish over 30 different
prime target
magazines, and only 25% of them are adult titles. All the rest are non-adult titles.
Give me a couple of non-adult titles.
Skateboarding magazine. It's the largest skateboarding magazine in America.
Okay.
We have snowboarding magazine.
Naked snowboarding?
I had to throw that in.
Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't you? But why? So what year was this again?
I don't know for sure. We moved to that building, shortly after 9/11, which was in 01. So I want to say that was 02 or 03.
Okay, so the magazine industry hadn't gotten quite hit the way it's gotten hit right now. So at this point, he was still doing really well.
It was almost 20 years ago. He was in his late 50s or maybe about 60.
Yeah.
Hot Boat, which is the largest boating magazine for medium-sized outboard boats.
And things that you can do while you're naked. Yeah, I see the pattern. It's great. Yeah. Larry.
And
you think right then he was about to hire you or something? Or do you think he was
I just
want
him
to
laugh. He laughed at the first joke I made.
Yeah.
And I just think he was like,
yeah.
I thought this clown.
It sounds like you were trying to impress him with your marketing skills. Maybe pick up an extra job.
You know, and we, as I told you before, we expanded into the retail business and the video business as well, and the casino business. Casino in Southern California.
Wow. So. Larry Flint is here in the studio. Once again, the Larry Flint Hustler Club opening. Actually, its grand opening is tonight, technically. And it is happening at Highway 64 and Washington Park. It used to be Deja Vu. They've remodeled it and everything. It's going to be really cool. Larry, what is your... if you could get a state of the porn address to the city of St. Louis, how do you think the state of porn is in the United States and the First Amendment rights and everything? Has it changed at all since you started in 1974?
What? What's that?
A hell of a question.
Why do you ask a big question?
Good one.
Thank you. You know, did the founding fathers have Hustler magazine in mind when they drafted the Constitution?
They did? So they had it in mind when they drafted the Constitution?
Well, I think interesting. He's being facetious about
I know, it, but I mean, he makes an interesting point.
Yeah.
They wish they did.
No, I don't think so. But I think what they did have in mind was the right of free choice, and that's what the First Amendment gets its vitality and meaning from. And free speech is not the freedom for the thought you love, but rather for the thought you hate the most.
True.
You know, if you're not going to offend anyone, you don't need protection of the First Amendment. There's some people that are offended by pornography, then they shouldn't buy it.
True. Very true. I've always thought that.
They don't have to be exposed to it.
Yeah.
You know, if you go out there and take a poll among Americans and ask how many of you believe in free speech, 97% will say yes. Then when you ask them, well, what about hate speech? What about flag burning? What about pornography? And all of a sudden that falls to below 50%. So we should be thankful that we have the Constitution to protect the minority who really, really and truly believe in free speech.
Well,
he was getting a little fired up. Could you tell?
Yeah, that's his passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He fought several years for that.
Yeah, he makes a lot of
First
good
Amendment
points
rights,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Larry Flint, his state.
I mean, you know, we're going through all that right now with social media on, you know, that on steroids. That's what he's talking about, is right now on steroids.
Right.
People are saying, well, such and such a point of view is being blocked. Other people say it should be blocked because it is to incite violence or whatever. Mm. I mean, I guess there is a fine line between free speech and inciting violence.
Yes, there is. I think so.
Yeah. I wonder where Larry would stand on something like that.
I don't know.
Foreign address on Casey is beautiful. Larry Flint is here, and he is hanging out this afternoon. He's going to be at his club tonight from like 5 to 7.
I got that down.
You did. You sounded just like him.
What'd you do? Where were you on September 11th last year? You know, everybody was talking about that yesterday. What was Larry?
It was 02.
02.
Said, where were you on September 11th last year?
Okay.
Flint doing on September 11th last year when everything happened. Do you remember?
Well,
I was getting a big deal on feminine vibrators, mass produced out of China. What you, good question.
I just signed for it.
Actually, my daily schedule is unusual from the average person, and that I always go into my office late and I work late.
Yeah.
So. It was morning. I was still home, and I watched, and I knew even when the first plane hit that it was no accident.
Yeah, you thought it was terrible.
But was it free speech? I don't know, Larry.
Oh, don't go there, John.
No, I'm kidding.
Right off the bat.
I thought it was terrorist attack right away, and I speak an awful lot on college campuses all over the world, not just here, but in England, at Oxford, right, and Cambridge. And I have predicted these attacks long before they happen.
Yep.
Because, you know, our government comes off like a schoolyard bully in trying to peddle democracy to the people who are the least of all interested in it. Now, we know Muslims have treated their women like second-class citizens for 2,000 years. We are not going to change this. That's their culture. We are not going to change their culture.
True.
As much as every woman in America would like for it to be better for a woman in Saudi Arabia, it's just not going to happen. So when you start tampering with these cultures, you create a hatred and resentment toward America. Now,
someone could say, you know, didn't you do that with your pornography in the eyes of Christians? You kept trying to change culture amongst Christians, did he not?
I don't know. I was thinking about the Saudi Arabians, John, about how the women are over there allowed to drive and things like that. And things have come forward for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some Muslim women in certain countries, you know.
Remember, those
guys
flew those planes into the towers. They could have flown into the Eiffel Tower in France. They could have went into London. They could have went to Japan, Australia, where. But they decided on doing it to America. And I think there's a strong message there. And it's a message that the president, unfortunately, and John Ashcroft as well, are trying to...
John Ashcroft, former governor of the state of Missouri.
Right. He was attorney general at the time.
Yeah, he was attorney general of the United States. Because he was also Missouri attorney general for a short period of time,
right,
too.
Yep.
Nine. You know, I agree there's no excuse for what happened. There's no way to justify it. And I think the war should be fought against terrorism. And I think these people should be prosecuted. And they should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. But at the same time, our government has to be willing to acknowledge what caused this to begin with. You know, we have to change the way we do business with other countries.
We'll see what happens. It's all going to unfold. Something sick and twisted about having President Bush talked to the UN today and Larry Flint at KC95, given now his State of the Union.
Yes.
It was beautiful. Larry Flint.
What a beautiful moment there on KC95.
It was.
For sure.
I shed a tear almost.
And then after that, of course, the United States went to war in Iraq.
Right. Yeah.
And to this day, I think if you take polls, 50-some-odd% of people think that Iraq was responsible for the plane attacks on 9/11. Hmm. And they were not.
They were not.
And they were not.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny. Not funny, funny, but weird. Mm-hmm. And why did I say that? I forgot what I said that.
I don't know. Play the tape.
Again, publisher of Hustler magazine since 1974.
Oh, he was talking about how we do business with other countries. And then that happened.
Right.
They are opening his new club, the Larry Flint Hustler Club. Used to be Deja Vu, 64, and Washington Park. Tonight is the grand opening. And not only is it a boutique where you can buy novelties and lingerie and stuff like that, but it is also a dance club. Can't wait to see it. Larry, it was a pleasure and a thrill meeting you today, and good luck to you in the future.
Thank you.
All right.
There's something new.
All right, there you go.
Larry Flint.
Good interview.
He made some good points, man. You know,
he always has, but I mean, he's also being, I mean, there's some hypocritical stuff being said there too, I think, you know. So, it was an interesting interview. I mean, the guy has been nothing but interesting his entire life. He Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, I mean, he was 78 when he passed away last week or so, and I think the points that he would make, people would go, you're the publisher of Hustler. You know, that's, you know, people didn't take him seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that was it.
All right, that's episode 124 of the KC Tapes. I'm John Hewlett. You can follow me on Twitter at STLUMan. And on Instagram, I'm Johnny Hewlett.
See you next week, UMan.
Bye.
AMF.
The KC Tapes with UMan and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.